For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings, dear friends, and thank you so much for joining us again today. I'm John Lawrence, your host, and I would like to talk with you today about the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah. It is one of the minor holidays and not a biblical holiday per se, although the Bible says in John chapter 10 that Jesus was walking in the temple during the Feast of the Dedication, which is another name for Hanukkah. So perhaps participating in the celebration, we really don't know. But it was already, the festival we know of Hanukkah was already nearly two centuries old at the time of Christ. Hanukkah comes very early this year. In fact, it begins, interestingly enough, on Thanksgiving Day. It is a perfect time to send greetings to your Jewish friends, and perhaps even to buy them a small gift. You can enclose a tract with them if you would like to do that. Actually, here at IBJM, we have special tracts for this holiday, and you can order those tracts in packs of 25 from us here at no charge to you. We do send out a statement of cost, and then if you would like to support our printing ministry with a love offering, we would be certainly thankful to receive it, but that is not necessary. We want to continue sending forth the gospel message, and so we provide our tracts to churches and individuals who would like to share those with Jewish people. Hanukkah lasts for 8 days, so you have some time during that period to be able to send out greetings and good wishes for this very happy and joyful Jewish holiday, which celebrates the rededication of the temple after it was defiled by the pagan hordes of Antiochus Epiphanes. But remember, Hanukkah is also known as the Festival of Lights, so it is easily connected to the person of Jesus in that sense, the Jewish Messiah, who as the light of the world came to shine into our sin-darkened world and into our own sinful lives with the purpose of redemption. Jesus said to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, if you would recall, that he would send him to the Gentiles to do what? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins. That's Acts 26:18. Have you received forgiveness for your sin? Jesus paid the penalty for sin, which of course is death, and he can transform your life, give you newness of life, and eternal life in himself. Salvation is free for the asking as we turn in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, and of course the Savior of the world. And he's the only one who has the power to save. Why not accept his wonderful gift and embrace this so great salvation? You'll be glad you did. We have tracts for all the Jewish holidays, not just Hanukkah. They convey the gospel message in some way. You can be an instrument, perhaps yourself, to share that message with your own Jewish friends and contacts. Call us here at 423-876-8150 and ask for Glenda McGuirt if you would like to order some of those tracts today. The festival of Hanukkah will soon be here, and we should take every occasion we have to witness to our Jewish friends. You can reach Jewish people that we will never meet. Do you pray for the salvation of Jewish people in your area? If not, why not make that a part of your regular prayer life? As the Apostle Paul did, pray that they might be saved, that they might come to know Jesus as their own personal Messiah. Wouldn't that be a great thing at this time of year, even during the Hanukkah season, that some Jewish person might realize that Jesus is the light of the world and the light of salvation, and that they might get saved. Thank you for joining us today. And now let's listen to our friend, Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman, with today's Bible message.
Welcome back to our radio Bible programs. In our last session, we started a study of the Gospel of Mark. In this session, we'll continue that study and conclude our look at that gospel. In the 10th chapter of Mark, Jesus Christ dealt with the issue of divorce. After a group of Pharisees asked them about whether a man could put away his wife for any cause, he pointed them back to the 2nd chapter of Genesis. His disciples later asked him about the same matter. He told them that any person who initiated a divorce and remarried committed adultery. A man came running to Jesus Christ, asking him about inheriting eternal life. The Savior directed his question into the last portion of the Ten Commandments. In reply, the man said that he had obeyed these directives ever since his youth. The Lord asked him to sell his goods, give the proceeds to the poor, and follow him. This reply grieved the questioner. He had extensive possessions. Then he soon departed. Afterward, the Lord remarked, quote, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Unquote. His disciples wondered how anyone could receive salvation. To that inquiry, the Savior replied that for God, nothing was impossible. James and John outraged the other disciples when they asked Jesus Christ if they could sit next to him in his glory. He reminded all of them, though, that, quote, "Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all," unquote. Before entering into Jerusalem, the Lord commanded his disciples to go into a village and bring a colt to him. He then rode that animal into the city. The Savior visited the temple before retiring to Bethany for that night. On the following day, he re-entered Jerusalem and drove out from the temple all of those who engaged in financial transactions. The Savior came to a fig tree, expecting to find fruit upon it. Seeing it barren, he cursed the tree, and the tree withered. After Peter remarked on that phenomenon, Jesus Christ exhorted him to have faith in God. If his followers asked him for anything in faith, Jesus Christ said, God would do those things for them. The Jewish leader inquired about Jesus Christ's authority. In response, he asked them about the source of John the Baptist's commission. They didn't want to say yes or no because, on the one hand, they feared Jesus Christ's response to them, asking why they didn't follow him. On the other hand, they feared that they would displease the people if they said John's commission was not from heaven. Therefore, they did not reply to his question. Jesus Christ thus refused to answer their question. The Savior presented a parable about the owner of a vineyard who leased his facilities to tenants. He periodically sent representatives to those individuals. Those tenants abused the people he sent. When the man sent his son as an emissary, the husbandmen, those tenants, killed the son. The Savior said that when the proprietor returned, he would evict those men and entrust his vineyard to others. So the Jewish religious leaders perceived that he had addressed the parable against them. They did not arrest Jesus Christ at that time because they feared the people. In Mark chapter 12, a number of groups peppered the Lord with questions. He told the Pharisees and Herodians to, quote, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." This was in connection with a question as to whether or not Jews should give tribute to Caesar. To the Sadducees' inquiry about marriage in the afterlife, the Savior pointed to God's statement in Exodus chapter 3, where God said, "I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." When a scribe asked him about the greatest commandment in the law, Jesus Christ directed him to the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. After that point, nobody else presumed to ask him any questions. Jesus Christ stood by the temple treasury. Upon seeing a widow cast in a small amount of money, he remarked that she had given more than others, since she had contributed her entire living. The 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel provided a summary of the Savior's Olivet Discourse, also contained in the 24th chapter of Matthew. In Mark's account, the Lord told his disciples, quote, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors, unquote. The statement recorded by Mark suggested that the flourishing of the Jewish nation will precede the latter-day events that Jesus Christ described. Such an interpretation magnified the significance of the Savior's mandate for his disciples to watch for him. While Jesus Christ stayed in the house of Simon the leper, a woman poured ointment of spikenard on his head. His disciples criticized her, asserting that she could have sold the ointment and given the money to the poor. The Lord rebuked them, saying, quote, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her," unquote. At his final Passover meal with his followers, Jesus Christ broke bread and gave it to them. He enjoined them, saying, quote, "Take, eat. This is my body," unquote. He shared the contents of a cup with them, declaring, quote, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many," unquote. After the meal ended, the group went to the Mount of Olives. The Savior told his disciples that all of them will fall away from him during that very night. When Peter protested, Jesus Christ told him that he would deny his Lord three times before a cock had crowed twice. The Savior took Peter, James, and John to pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He exhorted them, quote, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak," unquote. On three separate occasions, though, the Savior found his disciples sleeping. Judas Iscariot and a band of men then came to the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas Iscariot identified Jesus Christ by kissing him. Those men took the Lord to the high priest's house, where that official put him on trial. False witnesses arose, but they could not agree on their testimony. Finally, the high priest asked Jesus Christ whether he laid claim to the title of the Christ, the Son of the Blessed. The Savior replied in the affirmative, after which the group condemned him. During the time that the Savior was on trial, Peter warmed his hands at a fire outside the high priest's house. Three different people claimed that he was one of the Lord's disciples, and three times he denied that accusation. When a cock crowed for the second time, Peter remembered what he had promised, that he would stand by the Savior. Upon that remembrance, he left the fire and wept bitterly. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, knew that the chief priests had delivered Jesus Christ for envy. Nonetheless, he sentenced the Savior to death by crucifixion. As Jesus Christ hung on the cross, the chief priests and scribes cried out, quote, "He saved others, himself he cannot save," unquote. As the Savior died, a centurion guarding the execution site exclaimed, quote, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Joseph of Arimathea asked Pontius Pilate for permission to bury the Lord's body. The governor granted his request, and Joseph wrapped the corpse in linen and placed it in a rock-hewn tomb. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, came to that tomb, bringing sweet spices in order to anoint the Savior's body. They learned that he had risen from the dead. A young man instructed them to tell the disciples that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and would meet them in Galilee. Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to preach the gospel to everyone. He described certain phenomena that would accompany believers. Quote, "In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover," unquote. After Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, those disciples went forth, obeying his mandate to preach the gospel to every creature. And they did so joyfully. This concludes our radio Bible study about the Gospel of Mark. We invite you to come back for future radio broadcasts about the books of the New Testament.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343. Or call us at 423-876-8150. Or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.